And it helps when, you know, your pastors or our priests are really, really intentional when it comes to how they lead our parish. You know, like I'm so lucky to have a really great priest who is very intentional in the way that he wants ministry, focuses on families. Like when you look at like faith formation, it's not just faith formation where you drop off your kids, but he provides opportunities for parents to get formation too. And formation can be anywhere from like teaching them like about like how financial stuff, or teaching them about struggles within the family, but having those intentional ministries, intentional opportunities that really promote the family. And it has to start off like within the parish level and then kind of go outwards, because it really helps. Like even something as simple as providing, like they did a date night for all the couples. They encourage all the married couples to come on Sunday, and after mass, all the couples could stay behind. There was poo-poos and like, you know, drinks. And then they gave them coupons to all the local restaurants for them to have date nights with questions. But that's like thinking on a different level of how we're being intentional in the way that we minister to the community. And I feel like that's like simple ways that we can transform. And as you can see, the community then grows together with one another.
So the witness, again, is so important. You know, we can have all of these concepts about the mystical union and the covenant, but when you're living it, then it really, really shows to people, and it's attractive to people. What about the whole pessimism that we seem to be experiencing? You know, the world is going to end, or we don't want to bring children into this world. What can marriage contribute to that in terms of breaking that cycle of pessimism and making people a little more optimistic about our lives and where God is calling us?
Within marriage itself, having someone with you and being not alone, having, of course, having faith in God and feeling that, but also having a physical person that helps embody that love that God gives you, gives a lot of hope and helps with the faith in itself, because you have support from another person that you can give and model to each other. And in that, you have that ability to then go forward and be excited about tomorrows. And I think that's how you can combat pessimism, is that when you know that there's going to be someone else, and when you know that there's going to be a community, and when you know that there's going to be support, that you have the encouragement to move forward. And you have the encouragement to think about the future in those ways.
Marriage, of course, in our Catholic understanding, is a witness. And you don't just receive a sacrament, but you are a sacrament. You are witnesses of the love of Christ for his church. And he loved his church when she was beautiful and when she was sinful, when she embraced her and when she crucified him. And so I think that's what marriage is going to be like, that it's not all going to be fun and games, although certainly there will be that, and many very, very positive moments, many beautiful times, but it will be a struggle. But I think it can be a witness that that this commitment to another person in love is possible. And that is where fruitfulness comes, and that is where God's love can be spread throughout the world. So I want to thank you for your insights today, and I certainly want to thank you for your inspiration to so many people and the witness that you give even now. So do you have any questions for me that you'd like to need to reflect on?
So Bishop, when I think of marriage, and I know we kind of wrapped up some things, but I think of the, you know, it's mentioned before, like a beautiful struggle. And again, maybe this is that idealistic or optimistic kind of look, but I think of a great story, you know, and no story would be interesting or fun or like engaging if there wasn't some sense of drama, you know, if there wasn't some sense of struggle, you know, if everything was just up here, you know, it's too perfect, right? And I would imagine in your experiences throughout your priesthood and living out your ministry and all the marriages that you've seen, what would you say is an example of a great story of marriage and that journey that maybe would be inspiring for other people to hear and just kind of listen and take in.
If I were to think of one couple that just jumps to my mind, it would be these friends of mine who had three boys, and they were in our parish school, and one night there was a house fire, and two of the three boys died. And it was, of course, very, very tragic, and that was, you know, you can imagine losing two boys, and they almost lost the third one. Thank God he's fine. But to go through that kind of trauma could very well have separated them, but instead it really brought them back together. And now, as they're getting older, it's very inspiring to see how he takes care of her and how he, you know, helps her walk around and cooks for her and takes care of her. So, you know, it's not by any means the perfect story, and yet this couple is a great witness to me and to many others, I'm sure, of what marriage is like, because God is at the center of their lives.
Bishop, I have a question. If a couple that was maybe they're engaged or maybe they're starting their marriage are unable to have children, what's their calling to a Christian life?
If they're unable to have children, I would say that they should pray about that. There are many children who could use a good home. Perhaps they could consider adoption. And I think that's something that more and more people, I hope, would think about, because there are many children who are abandoned and not properly cared for. And so I think that would be one solution. If they properly discern that that isn't God's will for them, for whatever reason, then of course they can still be witnesses of that love that is fruitful in other ways, that gives to others, that isn't just concentrated on themselves, just between themselves, but that can really be a leaven in bringing God's love to others. I think those are some of the ways that they can deal with that situation.
How would you approach a situation if they're planning on doing like in vitro fertilization, or they're trying to get like a donor?
Right. Well, I think that's some very difficult moral issues there. But I would say that I would refer them to somebody who can talk to them about those moral issues, that perhaps we should talk more about them in the church and tell people why this is problematic. Because the in vitro fertilization, I think, it gives the lie to abortion, because that is a human being, and they know that, and they're paying plenty of money to have that human being. The problem is that it's not conceived in that loving relationship of marriage and that conjugal union, and there typically are more embryos that are created that are just discarded then. So there's some real issues and problems with that. But I would steer them towards somebody who can discuss with them those kinds of moral issues.
Could I ask on interfaith marriages, for someone who is Catholic and then choosing to marry someone who isn't Catholic, whether outside of the church or someone marrying someone and bringing them into the Catholic Church for a Catholic marriage, is there a process to that?
Yes, there is. The presumption is that Catholics will marry Catholics, but that doesn't always happen. And if there is a Catholic who wants to marry a person who's not a Catholic, I think the priest or the deacon who's preparing them for marriage should speak with them candidly about what that will mean, for their children, because it's not a showstopper, but it certainly is something that they should be thinking about before they get into marriage. What are the real differences. Because sometimes when you're courting or you're engaged, you can kind of have starry eyes and not really delve into the differences that might very well be divisions in your marriage. The same could be true, though, of interracial marriages, intercultural marriages, and certainly those are beautiful. These can be very beautiful, but I think it is important for the couple to stop and say, what does this mean to us? How is this going to affect us as a couple? So that they can be prepared for whatever it will bring. And I think the more they can be dealt with up front before the marriage, I think the better it will be for the marriage. And this is, of course, one of the things that Engage Encounter tries to do. Well, I want to thank you all for being here this morning, for your insights, and most of all, for your witness, because I know that even now, you are great witnesses of the faith and certainly are an inspiration to me. So mahalo and many blessings, and may this discussion bear much fruit in the lives of many. God bless you.